Okay.
Mischief.
Welcome to the Goose. How the hell are you? Welcome back for another week. We're here this week. Who is with us? Annie, a regular Goose podcast member, is here as well as me, Mark. And also we have a guest this week in the form of Steve Gunn.
Hi.
Hi, welcome to the show, Steve.
Great to be here. Welcome to the show. Welcome to the studio of Mark Canton.
Great to be here.
This is Canton's Laundry, which for the listeners who were listening last week, it's a different laundry. Mark assures me not the same laundry that was hanging out last week.
Red, blue, grey, and black.
That's it. Those are the colours that I stick to. Yeah, again, for sound, I've left my laundry out. And again, we're not in the proper studio this week. But I think it sounded okay last week, you know. So, fuck it. Here we are again.
I was about
to say, can you say fucking, but you can, it's fine.
You can say fucking all you like, yeah.
You can swear till the cows come home, Steve.
Excellent.
So, Steve is an actor.
Yes. Dramatic, comic. Mm-hmm.
And what do you have on your CV under additional skills?
I can do, I have three settings. Well, I have lots of different settings, but one of those setting bands is Dublin. And that divides into north and south, and then I can also do country.
These are accents that you can do.
Or character types.
Okay.
I've about three.
Okay. So you can't necessarily take us on a tour of Ireland, county by county.
No.
Doing the proper accents.
No.
Okay.
Sorry about that.
Donegal.
Go.
No.
No.
Just general country.
General country.
Okay. You must have can play guitar. Can sing.
Yes, musician, singer, full driving license, basic horse riding skills.
And is that true? Or
yeah, I took a course, like
did
a 6-week thing, quite near here in the Finch Park, and it's nice. But I'd watched that movie with Russell Crowe where he kind of slouches in the horse, 310 to Yuma.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So the instructor corrected me on my posture a number of times.
Yeah, it's better to sit up on a horse. Also, you look less fat. The straighter you sit, just in general, the... Yeah, immediately you look like a new person. Steve looked obese a second ago, then he sat up straight, and now he looks like an average-sized man.
I'm now leaving.
Do you have anything on your CV that you actually would not like to be called up on, were someone to say, oh, look, you can roller skate and wait tables at the same time?
Yeah, that's something I'd love to mention in a podcast that's then put on the internet.
Yeah. These are the things that I cannot do. Annie, what have you got on your CV?
Well, general things like that, like that I can speak Spanish and I can ride a horse and I have stage combat skills and...
Can you say I like riding horses on the weekends, it's one of my favorite things, in Spanish?
Do you want me to say it right now?
Yo soy...
I actually can't remember the verb to ride.
So maybe you should change your CV.
Which is... Yeah, exactly. Change that CV right up. And it's not yo soy.
No, I know. I'm just...
Canton looks like he's from Spain, everybody thinks, and yet he can't speak Spanish.
No, I cannot speak Spanish, but I like to try.
I also have running in high heels on my CV, which is actually, I can do that. It hasn't ever come in useful yet.
Yeah.
But it is a skill that I possess.
There's a race somewhere where it's a whole load of men running in high heels. The tranny race or something?
In New York City?
Yeah, I don't know where it is. Is it in New York City?
Well, there is one in New York City, but I don't think it's trannies. I think it's just anybody, any men, if they want to wear some high heels and then sprint 100 meters for something ridiculous like $10,000, you can do it. But you have to make it across the finish line with both high heels on.
I met some Americans recently from Tennessee, maybe?
To Tennessee.
Tennessee.
And they were like, have you been to America? And I was like, yeah, I've been to New York and California. And they were like, well, if there was two parts of America that we would give to you Europeans, it would be both those places.
And that's where I'm from. Mm-hmm. Both of those places. That's probably true. I'd say most Americans feel that way.
They'd give away New York and LA?
Yeah. I think that people are just a little bit angry about them, like, because everybody in New York and LA thinks they're better, or California in general, thinks they're better than everybody else in the United States. So I think people in the rest of the United States feel bad about that, which is not necessarily surprising. And Texas wants to be on its own anyway.
Mm.
So, and I think the middle of the country would happy to be just the middle of the country.
Well, Dublin, so. Paris, London. most of the people in those countries hate those cities.
So let's see, have we got a question for the week? I was wondering, one of my questions is, have you ever broken a bone?
I used to play rugby. And,
okay, well, while Steve is finishing the food, so he's not talking with his food in his mouth.
Listeners dig that, man. It makes them more connected.
It's really annoying for some people.
Both of the listeners are really enjoying that moment.
You joke about both of the listeners. Mm-hmm. That's probably about right. I have not ever broken a bone that I know of. I've never had to have a cast or anything like that, but that pinky looks like it was definitely at some stage.
Freaky. Must be mashed up against your face in the womb mutation or something.
No, it's within, I think it was a lacrosse injury in middle school who knows if it was actually broken. It may just have been fractured and it just
I don't
didn't.
Feel embarrassed about playing rugby now because you just said lacrosse.
Lacrosse is an amazing sport.
What is it?
Yeah, exactly.
What is it though?
It's played with a stick with a net at the end of it, and you run around, you have to keep the ball in the net, and you have to pass it to each other. It's an old Native American sport, but it's pretty tough when you play it now.
When I was playing rugby, I was the second row, so number two and four, you jump for the line out.
Yeah.
And the chap who was throwing the ball in, who was on the same team as me, threw it like a missile, and the ball hit my right hand, and that was quite sore, and I kept playing, and then I jumped up again later on, and it hit my left hand, and that was also sore, and then I realised I couldn't actually play. And then, because my
hands are quite important in rugby.
Absolutely.
I
and then they were like, you know, how are you? And I was like, I don't know, maybe we should get an x-ray. So I went to the
hospital.
15, 16.
Okay.
Before I discovered techno and stopped playing.
Yeah.
but they x-rayed my knuckles and they're shattered.
All of them?
Yeah.
So. You shattered all your knuckles?
Yeah.
Oh my word.
Ouch. And so did you have to wear casts on your fingers?
No, the doctor just said, so they're all shattered and we could maybe try and operate, but it's probably not that bad. Just, you'd be grand.
Really? And how are your fingers now?
They're grand.
Are they sore?
Okay.
Oh, I can, no, they're fine.
They're fine. Yeah. And so you can still play the guitar and tickle the ivories and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. When I was about 15, I was in France and I was on a trapeze.
I was trying so hard not to laugh. I just wanted that to just be just a fact of like that's
the trapeze was only like 4 feet off the ground. It was in a playground in the campsite in France, but I tried to jump off it and I guess I didn't have a good enough grasp of mechanics and the laws of gravity, and the trapeze just swung out from underneath me, and so I just went straight down onto the ground. And my left wrist, I broke something in my left wrist, and then we had to go to hospital in France. I understood one word, fracture, and then so they put a cast on it, and then several months later in Dublin they took the cast off, and my hand, like if you look at your hand, it kind of goes along and then it goes down a bit where it gets to your hand. Your arm goes along, goes down a bit where it gets to your hand.
Yeah.
But mine was straight along. Like my hand was actually up about a centimeter higher than where it normally is. And I was just looking at it like, oh my God. It doesn't sound that weird. You're like, oh, well, sure, it's straight along. But when you actually see it, it was freaky. What happens then is, as when you're a teenager, this bone grows into place or something that slowly pushes the hand back into place. But like that took like 6 months or something after I'd taken the cast off. I just had this weird hand.
And did your hand work okay?
Like yeah, it worked fine. Yeah.
Apparently, a lot of people say that people tend to faint when they have their cast taken off because they're so used to having that extra weight that all of a sudden, like the extra.
Have you ever fainted?
No.
Have you?
I've had moments of thinking I was going to. The closest I ever got was in Spain during this huge religious ceremony, and all of a sudden I got a bloody nose. And this was my closest thing to ever a religious experience of any kind. And all these older women in this town in Granada kept shouting at me in Spanish that I needed to go away. And I was like, no, it's fine, it's just a bloody nose. And I don't get bloody noses that often, but then it just started kept coming. And then I had this vision that my brains were falling out of my head. And I stood up, and that's when I was like, I'm definitely going to faint. And I said to my boyfriend, I'm definitely going to faint now. Instead, I just puked all over the place and then went to bed. So I know I've never fainted.
So
that was scary. That was a scary day. That was not fun.
Both
my siblings fainted in the same concert when they were singing in a choir, and it was really hot. It was in St. John the Divine in New York City, up on 115th Street, that huge cathedral that's still being built. And it was a hot summer day, and they stood up to sing a song, and within 2 seconds, my sister just, boom, just down. My mom and dad and I were sitting there, and then within another 2 minutes, my brother in the next row, down. It's like, okay.
By the end, it was just a solo. Did anybody else in the choir collapse, or was it?
I don't think so. Maybe only been the Gill children. Maybe one other person, I don't remember.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are the Endurance Choir.
Getting the breathing right was tricky. But no, have you ever fainted?
No.
Can't
know of,
no. No, never.
Not yet, anyway.
Not yet. Let's see if we can all faint by the end of the episode.
Apparently it's a nice experience.
Fainting?
Really?
Yeah.
God, I'd feel...
Oh, I hate the idea of it,
though. Waking up, I'd feel, bad. Like, everyone just looking at me.
They said your best man speech was going to be great. What happened?
Yeah.
Have you ever been a best man?
No. What are you going to do?
What are you going to do?
Do you have a brother?
No.
Yeah, that's a... Oh, I just think that's a shoe-in, as in terms of, like, best men. Like,
true.
I think having a brother
or
a sister is a good, you know...
Yeah.
Gets you in the door.
Are you recently officiated at a wedding?
I did.
Spoke.
Yeah. I married Well, the thing is, though... To downplay a little bit of what I did, it was my cousin's wedding in France, and the law in France is that you have to be married on the day of your wedding in your local town hall, and that's the wedding. So they went and did that, and we all went and watched them do that. Well, you know, about 20 of us. And then later that afternoon, there was a ceremony with the dress and the aisle and readings and all that kind of stuff. So I was the officiant at that, and we did all the normal... Do you take this woman?
What's an officiant?
You know, someone like the celebrant. There's that word that doesn't make it any clearer. Like someone who says, welcome everybody. Kim and Sergi are here to get married and we're all going to celebrate them.
MC.
Do you, Kim, take this man to be your... Do you, will you... Yes, that whole thing. Yeah, but the pressure was off in a way because if I said something wrong or it went wrong, they were already married. So that was the good news. And I didn't have to... get any certificate or anything.
I was at a friend's wedding once, and at the moment when they were doing the I do bit, someone went, you know, that's not a real priest. I was like, what? I was like, no, apparently, but he's quite religious. They just don't tell the mother.
Last night was the Emmy Awards.
Oh.
In Los Angeles. And so today there's lots of stuff about who wore what.
If you're listening from LA, hi.
Hi from LA. Hi to the
well
folks
done to
in LA.
All the winners.
Congratulations to all of you.
Was
we're
your
all very
mom
happy for
up
you.
For anything, Annie?
Mom, not this year. No.
Okay,
my grandfather won an Emmy in 1970 something, and we have it. So it was always fun to play with that when we were little. It was just up in the attic, just thrown in a corner or something like
what
that.
What did you win it for?
A documentary he made about New York City.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so there was some wardrobe malfunctions. You know, occasionally, and everybody has opinions about who wears what and what they look like and their speeches. And Merritt Weaver, who is in Nurse Jackie, who I think is one of the funniest actresses, won for her role in Nurse Jackie. It was a big surprise. Everyone thought someone from Modern Family was going to win because Julie Bowen's won for the past 3 years. And Merritt Weaver won, and she got up and she said, thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you all so much. I have to go now, goodbye. She
that
just
was
walked away. And everyone was like, that's the worst. And I was like, that's actually pretty great because you get up there, like, if your mind goes blank, what are you supposed to do? You know? And so that was but then it got me thinking, like, what, because you have about 30 seconds to give your acceptance speech. So before they start playing the music. So what do you say? Like, what? Mm. I mean, I know that both of you have been rehearsing your acceptance speeches for
absolutely
various things.
Yeah.
Steve, what would you say?
Well, I'm the same with lines and stuff. I can never remember my acceptance speeches either.
Yeah. But you can remember lines just fine.
Yes,
to all
sorry
you casting directors listening.
You've recently moved into a new
a house full
place
of artists. And,
how's that? How's it living
amazing
in? What?
Is it a commune?
It's no. Everyone has a room.
I think of it as a crazy house. I was there once years ago.
Yeah. Well, anyone who's kind of been there is probably like 4 o'clock in the morning, you know. Yeah. But it's actually a quiet...
That's a description of everyone who's been there. They're 4 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah. Yeah. My God, you actually live in that house. It's actually quite kind of quiet, you know. And lots of unemployed actors and artists kind of going, how are you? I'm okay. It'll get better. That's good.
Where is it?
It's supportive. Near Cape Street Bridge.
And how many of you live there?
There's six.
Oh.
Not including partners. So it could be as many as 7, 8, or 9.
Okay.
It's nice. I like it. It's nice to open the door and there's the Liffey.
Yeah.
Do you know?
Yeah. You don't
especially
find...
Especially on those days when you're not feeling that good, there's mm-hmm. the Liffey.
Yeah, but you're in town as well at the
yeah.
same time.
Yeah, oh, I love that.
Do you find that stifling? No.
No, no.
I think I'd go crazy if I was
see, I grew up in the suburbs. So that's
yeah.
stifling
well,
for
well, so
me.
Did I.
Yeah. I just, yeah. I know, I like to be in the thick of it and then escape to the country.
So, oh, let's do our random interview generator. So we're going to find a word on randomword.com thing. Here we go. And it's going to come up with a random word, and then we're going to see if that sparks any memories of any stories in us. So our random... Oh, that's not a great random word.
Where is
first
this?
Random word is comedy, which I think we've just discussed. Hazard.
Hazard. I'll hazard a guess that. Hazard.
Hazard. There's a sticker on my... I don't know if it's on my current bike or my previous bike, which says, attention, blah, 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 Octung, blah, 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 and then Uwaga. I'm like, what language is Uwaga in? It sounds amazing.
Yeah.
That's my story about Hazard.
I always just think of the Dukes of Hazard, which I've never
oh,
seen
yeah.
that either.
You never Googled
either.
It.
No, I've never Googled it. Well, I mean, I know what it means. It just means attention, but in what language?
Mm.
Yeah, the Dukes of Hazard. What does that even mean? Who's Hazard? And where is it?
No, but the Dukes of Adventure.
Is it Hazard County?
It
hazardous
must be.
Situations. Like Daisy Dukes Hot
Pants. Yeah.
But I don't...
But they control Hazard, you know?
Yeah.
They
Hazard is a good word, though.
They're the masters of Hazard.
Okay, and so that's what it means.
Yeah, I guess so.
No, nobody has any idea.
I'm looking it up now, but, you know.
Great,
yeah, fictional Hazard
banjo
County.
On that show.
Oh, Hazard County. Okay.
Yeah.
And...
Have there been any hazards
Hazard?
That you've encountered? Any warning signs which you ignored?
I've been known to drive up one-way streets if, like, it's quiet.
Yeah.
So for that, I have a friend called Darren, playwright, actually. And so I bumped into someone, like, oh, I just saw Darren. And they're like, oh, how's he getting on? So I wasn't really talking to him. He was just smiling, waving, laughing, and driving up a one-way street. And I was just like, that's very Darren. You know? So there you go.
Yeah.
Maybe you shouldn't tell people that you drive up one-way streets and that you also have your driver's license when you're running to work on a film.
Yeah, no, I've given up with all that, you know.
Driving.
Just being
or,
cautious.
Or
cautious.
Being cautious.
Yeah.
Mm.
We need a mischievous, adventurous type. Who's that guy who drives up on my streets? But he will really be okay.
Late at night when no one's around.
Yeah.
He's mysterious. Mysterious? That is not a word.
No.
What?
Mistress. I just said mistress, but I meant it as mysterious. But no. It came
mistress,
out mistress
is a word.
Mistress is a word, but not mistress.
He's the mysterious mistress.
She's a mysterious girl. Roy Orbison.
Yep.
What's a good documentary on him?
Written by Bono.
I know, yeah, that's what I was about to say, oddly enough.
Really?
Yeah, Bono's out.
She's a mysterious girl. She's a
ladies and gentlemen, Bono
girl.
Is in the studio with us this evening.
That was Roy Orbison.
It was Roy.
Shit.
Yeah.
But apparently they were doing a gig and you two were doing a gig and they were in the hotel room after the show and Bono, sorry, was using the directional microphone and he was like playing some tune and he turns around and he goes, guys, I think this is a really kind of Roy Orbison song. And they're like, yeah, great, Bono, like, we're, you know, come over and have a cam and you're finished. And he was there singing away and then there was a knock on the door and in walked Roy Orbison. They were like, what the fuck? You know, 100%.
I
he
heard
goes,
you singing a song. I think
yeah.
it would be appropriate for
yeah.
me. Of course you're here. I'm sure Bono didn't even blink. Good, Roy, you're here.
Yeah.
Come in. I've written a song.
Well, what's it? Bob Dylan. I read his that book he wrote.
Yeah.
What he wrote. And in the middle of it, he's there going, oh, I was a bit pissed off and I wasn't really digging being Bob Dylan and it was kind of crap. and then a knock on the door, and who's there but Bono with like six cans of Guinness. Honest to God. And he goes, and he came in and he told me that I was like this magical, mystical poet and the voice of a generation, and I got to start writing songs again. And I thought, fuck it, I will. I nearly dropped the book, you know?
Yeah.
Dylan.
Because you thought, Bono's never done that for me in my hour of need.
Well, just the amount of abuse he gets for being such a wanker.
He does. The people
but that's
of
credit.
Ireland.
Dylan
not...
mentions you in his book. That's just credibility straight yeah. away.
I've met huh? Bono.
Have you?
Have you?
Yeah.
Where did you find him?
Bono?
Paul, how are you?
I was working with my mom and my godmother, who work for Yo-Yo Ma, and we were doing a concert with Jim Wolfenson, who was at the time head of the World Bank, and it was a private concert in the Libraries of Congress, and Bill Clinton was there, and Bono was going to be speaking. No, Bono was going to do this spoken word poetry thing with mm-hmm. Yo-Yo playing in the background, and so I was in charge of making sure Bono got to his dressing room on time and was ready to go when he needed to go, and he had two beautiful women assistants with him, and so I knocked on the door and I couldn't hear anything because the concert was happening on stage, and so one of them came to the door and said yes, and I said, would Bono like anything? And he was sitting over his, there's no smoking in the Library of Congress, and he was smoking, and he was sitting with his head over this like poem that he was going to read, and his hands were up in his hair, and he just looked really tense, and he looked up and goes, no, and I was like, okay, and as I was turning around, he goes, actually tea, and I said, okay, what kind of tea? And he said, Earl Grey, and I said, okay, would you like milk? No, just Earl Grey. And I was like, okay, so I go off to get it, and there's a giant bodyguard outside who says, who are you? And I say, I'm the stage manager, and he says, are you going to be walking around this hallway for a while? And there's this hallway wrapped around the back of the stage in sort of a horseshoe fashion. Mm-hmm. And I said, yeah, because I need to make sure that people are getting to the stage at the right time. And he said, well, President Clinton's going to be arriving any minute now. He wasn't in time to be out in the front, so he's going to be sitting back here. And I said, oh, Jesus, okay, well, that's fine, but I'm going to be using this dressing room quite a bit. So I came back and delivered the tea, and Bono said, thank you very much, and I left again, and then I came back to get him for the 5-minute call, and I knocked on the door, and I didn't hear anything, and I knocked on the door again, and as I went to open it, this giant white Secret Service officer was there. He goes, who are you? What do you want? And I was like, Bono has to be on stage in 5 minutes, and I hear Bono go, it's okay, she's okay, let her in, open the door, and then there's Bill Clinton right there, who reaches out and goes, hello, how do you do? I'm Bill, nice to meet you.
Oh, what how
a, yeah, totally, Bill, totally. Nice both hands. And I said, Bono, 5 minutes. He goes, okay, thank you very much. Went, got Bono on the stage. Bill walks around backstage to where all the stage managers are standing and starts introducing himself to everybody back there who we're supposed to be. And he goes, I'm so sorry, I was in Bono's dressing room. I know that was probably a big distraction. And
he was president
really
at the time?
No, he was. Okay. It was during the Bush years.
Yeah, whatever it has been.
And yeah, and Bill, like, what are you doing? He's like, go sit in your seat on the other side of the stage. That's my Bono and Bill Clinton story.
Wow.
Good enough.
Yeah.
So send us a little email about how many names Annie just dropped there.
If you can remember. Exactly.
One, her mother.
Yeah.
So what's up with your ma? Am I allowed to ask that? What does she do then?
Well, she works for Yo-Yo. She's his archivist.
Yo-Yo, be like that?
Not like this.
Not like this? Yeah. That was a violin and a
violin,
cello.
Violin, and I corrected it with a cello. Yeah, he's a cellist.
From...
America.
Yeah.
America. He
of Asian
Chinese.
Descent. Chinese, yeah.
His name means happy, happy horse.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Fair play to him.
Yo-Yo Ma. Happy, happy horse.
So he'd be...
And he is kind of a happy, happy horse.
Is that, does that make him bird horse or
no,
muffin,
he's
muffin,
actually
muffin
he's actually very much bird muffin.
Okay.
No horse in him at all except for his name. Steve, we can't go there with you right now, sorry. Okay.
Previous
Steve,
podcast.
Steve, do you know
podcast
what your do you know what your name means?
Stefan Machuilichonna. In Irish,
well, that's what it is in Irish. But what?
Yeah. Oh, from a line of kings, apparently. If you've got a PH in it, a mm-hmm. drunk in a bar told me once.
Okay, but you don't have a PH.
I do actually.
Oh, do you?
Yes.
Okay.
Mm.
And okay, and Mark, what does Mark mean?
It's Mark like an X or a little spot, a piece of paper.
Illiterate people, what do you call it? You can't write. Illiterate.
Illiterate, yeah.
You wouldn't write, yeah.
You don't know what Mark means?
No.
It's like, not like bearer of the sword.
Or... Oh, yeah, it's Bear the Sword.
Just, if you could just sign your name here, and he just does an X. Yeah. What's your name? I don't know. Let's call him. What did he do? Mark.
Yeah. Just put a mark on a page.
Yeah. What does Anne mean? Something like with grace or something like that.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Boy.
Yeah. All right, let's take a look at a random page on Wikipedia and see what that brings to us. So the random page that I've struck upon is a film called What's Wrong with the Women? It's a 1922 American silent jazz age drama film directed by Roy William Neal, produced by Daniel Carson Goodman, and starring Wilton Lackey, Barbara Castleton, and Constance Bennett. The film's status is currently unknown.
So it could be fun for you to wiki this page too, and then you can read along to what Mark has just read out.
Yeah, it's 70 minutes long, it's silent. I don't understand, it's a strange thing to call it a silent jazz age drama film.
Well, the jazz age just sort of encompasses from musical, like 1918 until like 1928 or something like that, doesn't it?
It was over in 28?
I think so.
Okay.
Yeah, but I mean, you could just call it, you know, the 20s.
Yeah, but I think it's before the 20s as well. I think it sort of started...
Jazz age was a feature of the 1920s, ending with the Great Depression, when jazz music and dance became popular.
The Roaring 20s.
In the United States, which is also in Britain, France, and elsewhere. Jazz played a significant part in
when
wider
was the
cultural
crash?
Changes.
December
1929. She's a mystery.
So what is wrong with the women?
I wonder, is it something like all the women start going crazy, like that they start killing people? Is it kind of, or is it a kind of a Lysistrata situation where they start withholding sex until the men stop fighting with each other?
Good question.
Or is it having to do with the fact that they just go start dancing like crazy people?
I would have thought that now.
The dancing like crazy people.
What's wrong? What's why are they so happy dancing and singing and stuff like that, you know?
Maybe they've discovered drugs.
It's a tagline is the crashing answer to the age-old problem. What's wrong with the women?
I don't think you'd get that film
made
today.
It also has such stars. I also mentioned Wilton Lackey and stuff. But Mrs. D.G. Wolf Hopper is one of the stars. And also Baby Helen Rowland. That's what she's listed as. Baby Helen Rowland.
No, but you know, like that was a classic thing for... like if you traveled around, if you were a cabaret star or something like that, like people would be called like baby so and so, or you know, and like if they're a family group or something. So
do you have a nickname when you're playing in the Dame Tavern, Steve?
No, I have been known as Gunner, which is a kind of a Dublin thing, I suppose. They put an E-R at the end of the O. These are
fairly,
can you think of any
common,
of Gunner? And then, or Gunner Man, it's more of a Bob Marley kind of thing.
A Bob Marley thing?
Kind of, yeah, Gunner Man.
Just because you're adding man to the end of it?
Yeah, exactly, okay. Yeah. It's a Jamaican sort of a thing. And then, Dirty Steve, who my ex girlfriend from France one day turned around and goes, "Why did they call you Dirty Steve?" It's like, no reason, it's just a thing. But it was actually one of the cowboys in that cowboy movie.
Oh.
Young Guns.
Oh.
"We're going to shoot you, Dirty Steve." You know?
Dirty Steve.
Annie?
There's a friend of ours, Duck, who gets his nickname Duck from his surname. So it's rather uninteresting. But when people ask him why he's called Duck, he comes up with interesting reasons why. One, he's like, "Oh, because the head of my penis is shaped like a duck's head."
Oh my god.
I think he
entirely untrue, but
to be honest, he actually said that to I had a big group of friends over to my mom's house in Connecticut a few summers ago after a friend's wedding, and Duck was one of the people, and my mom had this big dinner in her barn with a long table, and my cousin Alice was there, and Alice at the time was 13, but she looks and acts a lot older. She being the only teenager there, you'd think she was probably in her late teens, Anyway, so she said, why do they call you Duck? And my mom was sitting on the other side of Duck, and Duck said, well, there's three things that I tell people. One of them is that, like, my parents were hippies, and my sister's called Rain, and my brother's called Flamingo, and I can't remember what the second one was. He goes, and the third one is that if a girl asks, I tell her it's because my semi-erect penis looks like a duck. And Alice, you could just see Alice going, I don't really understand what that means. I know he's talking about his penis. I don't know how to feel. And my mom goes, Duck, she's 13.
Well, the other reason that I've heard him say is that because when he's having sex with a lady, he likes to at the very end. No, not quack. That'd be good though. That'd be a strange sexual
Mark
picadillo.
Is taking a note.
Yeah, let's give that a go. Quacking. Flap my arms more. See if I can take off.
You flap too.
Yeah, oh god, yeah.
You're just gonna flap more in future.
I've been honking like a goose, and it's not quite there, but maybe the quacking like a duck. Or even talking. Even talking like Donald Duck.
Oh yeah, that's sexy, all right.
The growing number of females who get off to this podcast are in their element right now.
So far, they've had Bill Clinton and the duck. The duck likes to shoot his load over a woman's head, so he says duck.
Do you edit this?
No. Oh no, I do a bit, but that's definitely going in. That's the best part so far.
Yeah, everything is going to get edited down until now, because now we're warmed up.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Once you start talking about penises, you know it's going to be a good podcast.
And where is this? Like, I was like a dude on the internet just wandering around, where would this be?
Definitely in the penis section of the internet.
It's southwest of the main part of the internet.
Seriously, like, is there a platform?
Yes. If you go to feeds.feedburner.com.
Don't you follow me on Twitter?
/thegoose
I
podcast.
I put it out every week on Twitter.
Do you?
I do.
Yeah, we're just tweeting it out there, putting it on Facebook. That
slowly
kind of stuff.
But sure, we're working up to a slowly but surely situation.
So then you will put that into your podcast.
Oh, this is not one of the things where I have to promote it too, just because I'm involved.
No, you don't know. I'm saying the listener will then can take that fees.feedburner.com/thegoosepodcast. They put it into their podcasting software.
Yes,
for example, iTunes or
and then it'll
automatically update. Yeah.
Yeah. I only listen to one podcast at the moment, BBC Radio 5 Live.
Yeah.
Really
what, the
good.
Whole thing?
No, the movie show. Commode.
Oh, yeah.
You
know. How do people feel about the big win for Dublin yesterday?
Whatever.
In the Emmys?
No, it's good. You feel sorry for Mayo.
I kind of wanted Mayo to win, to be honest.
Stuff. Yeah, but I think the curse of Enda Kenny means that...
You know. There was a curse of Enda Kenny. What?
I don't know. Does this get political? but that's enough of a curse.
Oh yeah.
You know, I was out with a couple of pals. You know, and we were drinking, and
don't talk about drinking on this podcast. Actually,
okay,
so we
talk about sex
to edit that
and
out.
Everything.
We can
else.
Talk about sex, penises, cursing, but there's no drink talking.
Okay, we were high on drugs.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
We were.
That's fine.
We were. No, we're drinking, and this guy, he was begging, and a lot of people begging, Dublin, whatever, and he comes over, and he was kind of hassling us for a bit, and I said something a bit harsh, you know, like, whatever, and he kind of went, like that, did this kind of thing, you know, and I've read Stephen King novels, you know what I mean, so I was a bit like, that dude has totally cursed me, like some gypsy curse. And I started going, take it back, man. Take the fucking curse back, man.
Yeah, and you haven't had a girlfriend since.
Shut up.
You have not won the All-Ireland since.
A couple of weeks later, the same merry band were out, you know, me and two of my pals. And we were on a, what do you call those things? A rickshaw?
Rickshaw.
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 And so we're on this rickshaw. And we're at this party, and the party's good, but we decide to go somewhere else and then maybe come back. So we go somewhere else, and that's fine. Then we're on our way back in the rickshaw, and we decide to make a movie because we're all filmmakers when we're drunk. And we're coming around the corner, and my pal Lynchy totally goes on his face and smashes his phone on the ground. And then
he fell out of the rickshaw.
Yeah. No, he was trying to actually lean out and get a better angle
with
his camera phone recording video of the night. So we'd all look back at it, you know. And he fell on his face. And then he got back in the cab, and we go down like 2 or 3 feet down the street. Same fucking dude comes over with his credit card. The same beggar.
Yeah,
and gives him back his credit card. We're like, yay, the curse is lifted.
That's a good story.
It's a bizarre story, yeah. I can't believe I told it.
It's a good story.
Yeah, thank you.
Wow.
Yeah. So good. Yeah, it was quite a hazardous situation.
Nice. Bring it around again. Should we end with a song again?
We could, unless you've got it. Oh, yeah, okay. Steve's going to sing.
Unless what?
No, unless there was, unless Steve had a better idea of something that he wanted to do to make this his podcast.
Oh, that this too solid flesh would melt.
We're gonna have some Shakespeare recitation set to Spanish guitar.
So for any
future guests who may be listening, you don't have to know how to play the guitar. Just that our former guest.
Ukulele or banjo or something like
that
would be fine.
Yeah, some kind of string instrument would, but the guitar is, it's up to you.
Wait, did someone else play?
Maeve played last week, yeah.
It's been so nice. It's been so nice. Weather today. Then you came and took all my sunshine away. By inviting me here to record this podcast. How long will it last? It's over now. We'll have to carry on somehow. The distant memory of those happy times melting in the far reaches of our minds. Come on, yeah. What up?
Oh, Steve, don't you believe it? You know you weren't doing anything good. You were hanging on the street corner when I called you just an hour ago. You said I got nothing to do, so I'll come and talk to you and Danny Gill.
It ain't gonna happen.
Steve, do you have anything to plug? You play in the Dave Tavern,
ladies and gentlemen.
Every Tuesday, from 9:30 to 11:30.
You're also
on
the
Mario Rosenstock show on Monday nights at 9:30. And depending on how my callback went, I might be on a soap opera soon. Thank you.
And what's your Twitter handle?
Okay. At Steve Gunn 2 or something.
You don't have to give it out if you don't
want
it.
Yeah, no, I don't know it.
Grand.
Fine. Maybe we'll find it and put it up for you somewhere.
Awesomeness.
Listeners.
Thank you very much, and we will talk to you next
Thanks
time.
Thanks for listening. See you next Monday.
Boy. The Goose.